This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Another candidate interview today as we cover lots of different subjects on this program. First time in studio for quite a while. We've talked to him on the phone a number of times. Alex Carlatos, Republican running for Congress. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It has been a minute. I'm excited to be back.
So kind of give us an overview of how well you think your campaign is doing right now.
Well, I think the campaign is going fantastic. I mean, we've been doing events for quite some time, traveling all across the district. Actually, next week, we're going to do a giant swing and hit every county in about 30 different communities and have it last about all week going through the district. But, you know, we're doing well. I think we're outraising our Democrat opponent, which is fantastic and incredibly rare. So that's exciting as well. And I think everyone knows it's going to be a good year for Republicans. So we're very optimistic.
So what are the key issues that you're focusing on this year?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is, you know, when I ran last cycle, a lot of the same things like forest management. But this year, you know, with all the changes with this administration, you know, we've been fighting inflation, I think, has probably come up to the number one issue, reducing the cost of gas. I think here in Oregon, we are still like 98 cents above the national average at near $5 a gallon still. And also, you know, health care and rural health care is a huge issue in this district. And of course, just the overall economy. I mean, we are the poorest congressional district in the state. And it shouldn't be that way. We have abundant natural resources due to the coast and the forests and everything else, tourism. We could be doing a lot better, and we aren't. So those would probably be my top four, I would say, priorities.
So what led to you deciding to run a second time?
Well, a lot of things. I would say that, you know, DeFazio's retirement certainly factored in, I would say. And definitely after we had started, seeing what happened in Afghanistan was absolutely shocking and heartbreaking as someone who's been there. And the more disturbing fact that no one was fired and no one resigned after what happened in Afghanistan with 13 American lives being lost and I think $80 billion worth of equipment being left. I mean, it's absolutely shocking and heartbreaking, and there was no repercussions. So that was also another big factor. And of course, like I said, just the overall economic downturn since Biden has been president.
And with that military situation, you were particularly emphatic about a lot of things about that and really jumped out there pretty early on with your criticism.
Well, I think anyone that's in the military should be critical of what happened in Afghanistan. I mean, I was a specialist, which is not a very high rank in the Army, and I could have done a better job withdrawing from Afghanistan. I mean, anyone with common sense, anyone that had served in the military could have done a better job than this administration, and it's unfortunate because, again, you had multiple four-stars. I mean, if I was a chief of staff and I was a four-star general in the military, I would have resigned over what happened. And if I was president, I would have fired just about everyone probably two-star and above. I mean, this was absolutely an unnecessary loss of life, both on the Afghan side and the American side.
So with Congressman DeFazio retiring, that changes things a lot. How do you think it impacts this race?
Well, the district, first of all, got a little bit gerrymandered. So it did go slightly more Democrat, which is fine. But DeFazio retiring, I mean, it's just a huge opportunity as an open seat. DeFazio raised a lot of PAC money as an incumbent, so this time we won't have to put up with quite as much. So, I mean, it's just a huge opportunity. It's a huge opening. First time in 36 years that we haven't had an incumbent in the seat.
A lot of Democrats ran. Val Hoyle, who is probably one of the most well-known of them, is being looked upon by most of the Democrats as being a pretty strong candidate. How close do you think this race will be?
Oh, it's going to be very close, that's for sure. This is going to be won or lost by probably 1%. But Val Hoyle, I mean, she has a pretty extreme record, even more extreme than DeFazio. And also, even locally up in Lane County, where she's from, we've been fortunate to receive a lot of unaffiliated endorsements from elected officials up in Lane County. Simply because they do not get along well with Val Hoyle. And I think that speaks to her ability to legislate and work across the aisle. I mean, even with people that are unaffiliated, she rubs them the wrong way, and we've been fortunate to get a lot of those endorsements. And I think her extremist voting record in the state house does not help her either.
Now, you mentioned the changes to the boundaries in the district, and it changes things for folks in Douglas County, because now we've got actually part of our county no longer in this district.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost just about all of South County. Anywhere south of Winston is now in the second congressional district. They just moved all of the Republican areas in southern Oregon into the second district, and we lost them here in the fourth congressional. So we now have Coos, Curry, the northern half of Douglas, Lane, Benton, and Lincoln counties.
So a very different framework overall.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about 70% of the Oregon coast. So it's a very coast-heavy district, and we've spent a lot of time on the coast, so that's fantastic. And then on I-5, it's Roseburg, Eugene, Corvallis.
And east to Roseburg, I don't remember how far it is, but I think it's not as far as maybe some folks thought originally, up the north Umpqua before you end up in the second district now.
Yeah, it's actually, it pretty much follows the line or the highway 138 out. Anywhere on the right side as you're heading east is in the second, and anywhere on the left side is still in the fourth.
Now, what about with all this added area on the coast, has that caused you to take a look at some issues maybe a little differently, or spending more time on some of the coastal issues?
Well, we've spent a lot of time on the south coast, absolutely, even over the last race, but we are absolutely spending a lot more time on the coast. I mean, people on the coast have felt ignored for quite some time. And with the addition of Lincoln County into the district, we're spending a lot of time in Lincoln County in particular, since they don't know who I am from the last campaign.
Now, what level of national support from the GOP are you getting with this being, like you said, an open seat for the first time in decades?
Well, we'll see. I think both committees, the Republicans and the Democrats, are looking at this seat as an opportunity. Neither has really come in for a lot of money yet, so we'll just have to wait and see.
And with the midterms expected to lean Republican, although a lot of things are in flux even in the last week or so about how people are looking at different issues, how do you think that's going to help while you're in a district, a state rather, that does tend to still lean more to the left?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a good year for Republicans. I think everyone knows that Republicans are going to take back the House and probably even the Senate as well. We'll have to wait and see what the environment looks like, you know, a week or two before the election, because that's what really matters. But I would say that this is a Democrat-leaning district at the end of the day. We're going to have to win over people in the middle and even a lot of soft Democrats on these common sense issues. I mean, no one's excited with the economy or with the Biden administration. Everyone knows that we were better off 2 years ago before Biden took office, especially on the economic issues. So we're just going to win over people in the middle and soft Democrats on issues like that in particular.
Do you feel like you've got a bit of an opening here where DeFazio had some Republican support, kind of centrist type folks who, for a variety of reasons, maybe normally voted Republican but would vote for him, that might look at this race a little differently?
Well, absolutely. I mean, DeFazio was there for 36 years. That's a long time. Everyone knew who DeFazio was in the district. And with him not being on the ballot, I mean, that's really, I would say, an advantage for us since we ran last time. And Val Hoyle didn't. Val Hoyle's never really won a competitive election. And, you know, we didn't win a competitive election against DeFazio, but we gave him the closest race in 36 years since he's been in office.
And on the GOP side, you ended up with not any challengers. You were the only candidate. Were you surprised at that?
I was a little surprised, but I would say that we proved ourselves last election that we can run a serious campaign. And I think everyone knew that we were the best candidate to put forward into the general election. And fortunately, we were able to not spend any money on the primary and roll over all of our support. And like I said, we've been campaigning for 8 or 9 months, traveling all across the district. So if anyone's wanted to meet me in person, they can.
And I think probably especially on the Democratic side anyway, when Congressman DeFazio announced his retirement, it sort of set up this little pebbles in the lake or whatever, as people were kind of shifting, you know, well, okay, I'll run for this, now I'll run for that. You saw a lot of movement in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's to be expected, but I think it's very interesting how the Democrat establishment kind of coalesced around my opponent. and she's raised about 43% of her money from PACs and corporations. So she definitely has the establishment support on her side. But again, the only thing that matters in this race is the endorsement of the people of the 4th Congressional District, and that's what we've been working towards.
And in fact, when Congressman DeFazio announced his retirement, her announcement that she was running was you know, came really right behind that just by hours.
Probably almost before. No, she absolutely was tipped off. And I mean, DeFazio initially said that he wasn't going to endorse in the race, but then after about a week or two decided to endorse her. And again, I think that just speaks to the fact that she is the establishment Democrat candidate.
Back with more in a moment. Alex Scarlatos, Republican running for Congress on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. And tomorrow, getting ahead of myself, we are live out at the Douglas County Fair. We're going to be talking to a number of people out there during the hour. And more candidate interviews to come in the coming weeks as we look at a lot of different races around the area. Alex Scarlatos, Republican candidate for Congress, in with us this afternoon. We talked about the interest in this race on the national level. A lot going on in the state of Oregon. And what kind of response are you getting from other Republicans around the state about your candidacy?
Well, yeah. First of all, shameless plug, I'm going to be at the Douglas County Fair on Friday, which is going to be fantastic. It's the last fair. We've been to everyone in the district. But I would say that overall in Oregon, there's a lot of movement in Republican politics. With the Democrats kind of gerrymandering the congressional map, what they've really done is, it turns out, they've bitten off more than they can chew. They've made multiple districts instead of just giving the Republicans a Republican-leaning district like they should have, since we gained a seat with redistricting. What they did was they made three different districts just barely lean Democrat, the 4th, 5th, and 6th. So every single one of those is competitive this cycle. They're all considered just about toss-up races. So that's going to be very interesting to see how those races shake out, aside from my own. And then, of course, you know, we've got the governor's race with that three-way race with Betsy Johnson, which is going to be interesting as well. And then even on the state level, I think the state Senate is very competitive. And I think Greg Walden is helping to coordinate the Republican side of things and make an effort at even trying to take back the state Senate. So a lot of opportunities in Oregon.
And, of course, on the governor's side of things, a lot of things up in the air, because it's a very unique situation that I think, it's been decades and decades since there's been a very competitive three-way race. I want to say back, I think I looked it up, maybe the 1930s somewhere, where there was one that was actually close at that level. That also impacts the legislature in terms of who might be leading, but it also will impact the state relationship with members of Congress. What, as you look towards hoping to get this seat, what would you view a congressman's relationship? What should it be with state government?
Well, I mean, I think we need to coordinate on a lot of issues, particularly the homelessness issue is something that affects every level of government, something we all need to coordinate on. But I would say that, I mean, I'm rooting for Christine Drazen as a Republican, but I think just about even Betsy Johnson would be a much better governor than Tina Kotek. I mean, Tina Kotek's to the far left of our current governor. And I would say that I really am not looking for, you know, Republican leadership throughout the state of Oregon. I mean, I'm Republican. We need more elected Republicans. But what I'm really looking for is a balance. One party leadership, whether it's on the federal level or the state level for 30 plus years, is not healthy. I mean, they should have to work with Republicans, at least on some level, whether it be the state house, the state Senate, or the governorship. Republicans need one house just to create some sort of balance in the state.
We've talked about this a bit before, but as a millennial, and maybe over the last year or so with the new administration, what's your view of the federal budget situation and the deficit and some of the spending in the past year?
Well, the spending in the past year is obviously scary because of the rate of inflation that continues to go up. I think we're probably going to see it around 10% or above 10%. I know we've been at 9.1 last time I checked. But at the end of the day, the deficit itself is something that my generation is going to have to deal with. And it's honestly frightening because the implications of that are very scary, whether it be a collapse of the dollar or whatever else. I mean, it's just, it's something very concerning, and it's going to be a high priority for myself as a millennial if elected.
And not only have you had money to deal with some of the impacts of COVID and situations for state and federal government and all of that, but also you've got the Ukraine situation, a lot of money that's gone that direction as well.
Yeah, I mean, $40 billion for Ukraine. I think it was around $400 billion for the Inflation Reduction Act that just passed, which is an absolute oxymoron, spending $400 billion to reduce inflation. I would say that both parties are to blame for this. I mean, Republicans and Democrats both spend like drunken sailors, and that's something we absolutely need to change going forward. On top of that, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, both parties, Republican and Democrat, use the good parts of bills hostage so that they can get all their pet projects passed. And we need to end that too, because that's why a lot of these packages are so big. I mean, they could be streamlined. I think the infrastructure bill that was $1.3 trillion, if it was just for infrastructure, would have been about $250 billion.
As you watch your own race, I'm sure you're watching around the country. Are there very many millennials from the right, from the Republican Party, in races this fall, congressional races?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few. I think there's probably more millennial Republicans running for office than Democrats. So I'm excited to see this next generation, because our priorities are going to be very different than the previous generations. And I mean, even just like you mentioned, spending and the rising crime rate and inflation and all these problems that long term millennials and even Gen Z is going to have to deal with.
Now, have you seen, when you look at the 4 years ago, 8 years ago, some of the voting patterns, folks your age voted much more heavily on the progressive side, on the Democratic side. Have you seen a shift there in the last couple of years?
Yeah, maybe not so much with millennials, but I know Gen Z's is starting to swing back and they're starting to vote more Republican. Even the demographic shifts with Hispanic voters going very heavily Republican this cycle is going to be a very interesting dynamic, especially in the South and Texas. We've already seen some of that. But again, I'm only really worried about Oregon's 4th district, and we really need to reach people in the middle and some Democrats on these common sense issues that we've talked about.
So if you are elected and end up in Washington, D.C. next year, what are you going to hit the ground running with? What are some ideas you want to try to get to fairly quickly?
Well, like I said, inflation is going to be the number one priority for every Republican next year. It's something we can actually move the needle on. We'll have the majority in the House, so hopefully we can get some good things passed there. Also, the economy of the 4th Congressional District, which I already talked about. And then, I mean, even things like forest management, which unfortunately here in Oregon is a federal issue, we need to do a lot more on that. These massive forest fires that happen every year, getting more and more out of control. I was actually in your lobby reading your guys' write-up on the Archie Creek fire, and I mean, just, it's just so incredibly sad. I mean, I think even today we just lost a firefighter out of Colorado in that one of the fires out by Diamond Lake. I mean, this is incredibly sad. It's costing people their homes and it's costing human lives, and it's getting worse and worse, and no one's doing anything about it.
You mentioned being out at the fair. What other appearances around the area do you have planned?
Well, like I said, we've got our giant tour next week. You can follow our Facebook page if you want any updates on that. We're going to be in 30 different communities all across the 4th Congressional District. I think that's every community over 5,000 people is what we were shooting for. All up and down the coast, up and down I-5. So just keep an eye out there if you'd like to meet me in person. I look forward to it.
And if people want to find out more about some of the issues you're focused on, more about your campaign, talk about your website, social media, and all that.
Well, I mean, feel free to stop by the fair, talk to me in person on Friday. I think we'll be there in the afternoon. But our website's alec4oregon.com, and you can shoot us an email or a Facebook message or anything like that, and we'll get back to you. But thanks for having me.
All right, Alec Scarlatos, candidate for Congress, 1257 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.